Our second reading comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then has been waiting until the enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me this morning. It is a pleasure to be with you. This letter to the Hebrews, or really more accurately, this sermon, is meant to remind this community who they are and what their purpose is. This is a community of second-generation Christians. They're disappointed Christ has not come back yet. They have been persecuted by those around them, and they've lost their energy and passion for the good news. The author of Hebrews knows this, and wants to remind them of what God has done for them and what God is calling them to do. If we boil it down to just one main point, the author is simply calling the Hebrews to live into the community that God created them for. From the very beginning of Scripture, all the way back to Genesis, we see that God created us to be in community with one another and in community with God. We were not created to be on our own. No one is an exemption to this. We all need compassion. Yes, even those of you who identify as introverts, we need community. The passage we have for this morning can be broken up into two parts. What God has done to break down these barriers to community, and then the so what. We start off with our attention being brought to what God has done for us through God's Son that breaks down barriers that often inhibits community to be at its fullest. Through this one sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. They are wiped away and remembered no more. This is through no act or merit of our own. So often when we come together, we are tempted to point out other sins to quantify our own, to others' worthiness of being God's children. Well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. I haven't killed anyone or stolen large sums of money. I give more money to the church than they do, or I'm at worship more often than them. This must have been happening to this community of Hebrews, but are you surprised? It's happening today all around us. And this author is reminding the Hebrews that their sins are no more. Get over that stuff. Let it go. Stop using those excuses to live the way God intended you to. So what? The second half of this passage, as I said, is the so what. So Christ has died and our sins are forgiven. Our sins are remembered no more. So what? Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that Christ has opened us through this curtain, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed pure with water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for God who has promised is faithful. So what? Let us go forward. Let the weight of sin drop off your shoulders. Take a deep breath and be free. Do not look to your own sins, and do not look at the sins of your brother or sister. Whew! Let that barrier come down. But remember, we aren't created to be on our own, and we can't do this on our own. We are created to be in community with one another. So it's not just an indifference, but an active hand reaching out. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. Our work of love that we are called into together is provoking, irritating, and exasperating. It's what Scripture is telling us. It isn't easy. The author of this sermon is telling the Hebrews that instead of community being built on sameness and good feeling, it's actually built and flourishes when we annoy one another. When we are a community that pushes for something more, to build bridges and break down the walls that divide us, we are called to nudge one another to service. A community built on Southern hospitality is wonderful, but it also needs some Southern sass to encourage and help us strive for more. This letter to the Hebrews, in my opinion, could be written to most, if not all, present-day worshiping communities. We are easily complacent with our status quo. We hold others' sins against them. We hold the grudges. We carry our own sins like a death sentence, and we are not likely to push our neighbor too hard for fear of upsetting them or stepping on their toes. I am here today to give you permission to be pushy. We are only better together as we stand hand in hand and keep pulling each other up when we fall down. You're free to be annoying to one another. Scripture's telling you to. Let us live into the community the author of Hebrews is calling them to be. Let us be reminded of whose we are and what we're called to do. Let us live out God's dream. Your ecumenical worship service is a wonderful example of this, to come together with other denominations. You can think of community as a community of covenant Presbyterian, but I'm Lutheran, and I want to be a part of your community. We are baptized as children of God, which brings us all together. Your community and my community, we are one. I work at Thornwell in Clinton, South Carolina, which I found out that y'all have a wonderful relationship with that campus. It is a beautiful example of how community is hard work. The kids who enter our campus, they have been through so much. Regardless of how they are there, they have been ripped from their families of origin. Some of them have gone through 2 and 3 failed adoptions, all of which are causing trauma for these children. But our family teachers who live in the cottages with them, they love them day in and day out and are pushing them to strive to become better. Scripture's telling us what community is, but it's not easy. If you'll allow me one favor, I'd love to share with you one of my favorite stories. In February, my husband and I had our first child. I would love to say that my collection of children's books began with knowing of her arrival, but I've always loved children's books. My older siblings would tell you it's because my reading level never got higher, but in reality, it's because I believe that in the simplicity of a children's book is often an incredibly profound message that adults need to hear as well. So, if you'll pretend to be back in your first grade, sit back and enjoy being read to. God's Dream by Desmond Tutu. Those of you sitting in the front will get to see the pictures. Dear child of God, what do you dream about in your loveliest of dreams? Do you dream about flying high or rainbows reaching across the sky? Do you dream about being free to do what your heart desires or about being treated like a full person, no matter how young you might be? Do you know what God dreams about? If you close your eyes and look with your heart, I am sure, dear child, that you will find out. God dreams about people sharing. God dreams about people caring. God dreams that when we reach out and hold one another's hands and play one another's games and laugh with one another's hearts. But God does not force us to be friends or to love one another. Dear child of God, it does happen that we get angry and hurt one another. Soon we start to feel sad and so very alone. Sometimes we cry, and God cries with us. But when we say we're sorry and forgive one another, we wipe away our tears and God's tears too. Each of us carries a piece of God's heart within us, And when we love one another, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. God dreams that every one of us will see that we are all brothers and sisters. Yes, even you and me. Even if we have different mommies and daddies or live in different faraway lands. Even if we speak a different language or have different ways of speaking about God. Even if we have different eyes or different skin. Even if you are taller and I am smaller, even if your nose is little and mine is large, dear child of God, do you know how to make God's dream come true? It's really quite easy as sharing and loving and caring, as easy as holding and playing and laughing, as easy as knowing we are family, because we are all God's children. Will you help God's dream come true? Let me tell you a secret. God smiles like a rainbow when you do. Now, as adults, we know it's hard. There are many things our world wants to tell us divide us, but start small and build. Let the weight of your sin drop off your shoulder. Put down the walls that we believe other sins are there to divide us. Reach out and push one another. Listen to one another's stories. Find the gift that those who are different from you offer. Remind yourself that everyone you meet is created in God's image and is a beloved child of God. It may be difficult, but it's what we were created for. No one said being a person of faith would be easy, but it's what we're called to. Let us live out God's dream together. Amen. Now let us rise and sing hymn 500.